How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. How deep is the Father's love? I don't know. I just don't know. I know this. It's deeper than the sin I was in. And you can rest assured it was deeper than the sin you were in. And if you got anyone you were praying for and you think that they're deep in sin, I can assure you it's deeper than the sin they're in. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I thank God that I don't have to pick and choose who I witness to, wondering if God's grace and God's love can deliver them. Doesn't matter, brethren. Give me all you poor, amen. Give me those that are deep in sin. Bring the Gentiles, bring the pagans, bring those that worship the false gods. Get them under the sound of the gospel. Let them know that God loves them. God wants to make a change in their life. Aren't you glad that you belong to a God that way? Amen. That the only thing that God wants them to bring is a sorrowful heart that is willing to repent of their sin. The gods of the world, the gods of false religion say, bring me all that you have. But the God of heaven, the God of creation says, bring me all that you are. And I'll change that. Amen?
Amen.
You come to me just as you are. And I'll send you away being what you should be. And I'm glad that God does that. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Today is already been mentioned. The first Sunday of October. I guess it officially kind of feels like fall time, even though fall has been on us for a week or so. And fall is one of my favorite times of the year. We were having this conversation at our home last night. I love living in an area like this area where there's the four seasons. We get to enjoy all four seasons. I don't know that I'd want to live in an area where it's cold all the time. I love the snow. I love cold weather. But there comes a time where I'm kind of tired of cold weather and I want to kind of switch gears, and God does that for us. Amen. Right here in Virginia. I love the fall. The color of fall is just wonderful. Those crisp, cool mornings when you go out and can just take a deep breath through the nose and out through the mouth. Amen. Fill your lungs with that fresh, crisp morning air. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. All the color and the things that come with that time of year. But even then, the trees began to lose their luster. The leaves began to fall. And, well, we're ready for something else. And the spring of the year, I love it. The summer. All the seasons that God gives us. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the seasons of the universe, of creation, kind of depict, in a way, the seasons of life. And I'll not take time to go into that, but you start with spring and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you'll find out that you end in winter. You end where it's kind of cold and kind of lonely. You've lost a lot. Yeah. Now you've gained a lot, but you've lost a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's why God chose the folks who set aside the celebration of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to be in December. Could you imagine someone has said always winter, but never Christmas? Christmas kind of helps us, doesn't it? I love that time of year. Anybody here else love that time of year? I love it. I love it. I love every day. I just do. I'm glad I'm a Christian.
Amen.
I want to echo what Brother David said this morning. Sometimes it just does us good to go back and find out and reflect and remember where we were when God found us.
Amen.
Not take things for granted. You say, I don't know anything about that. Well, you ought to get to know something about it.
Right.
It'll help you in life. It'll help you in life. I'm going to talk to you this morning, this being the first Sunday of October, and October has been set aside as Pastor's Appreciation Month. You know, every day, every week, every month now stands for something. I don't know what we're going to do. We're running out of days, months, and weeks. Amen. Hallmark's making a killing. And I don't want to take away and minimize the celebration of things, but sometimes it's just good to keep our focus. I do want to say during this month, I'm going to talk to you about something that, this being Pastor's Appreciation Month, I want to talk to you about, well, leadership and membership. I'm going to use some Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, the Lord willing, to talk with you about those things. Today I want to talk to you about leadership. I want you to do this sometime. Don't do it while I'm preaching. I want you to take out a pad and a pen, and I want you to write down the description of what your pastor should be. Now don't send it to me, don't mail it to me, don't hand it to me, because it doesn't mean a thing to me. I go by what this book says. But the reason I want you to do that is because I want you to understand that if we're not careful, there's a lot of caricatures out there and there's a lot of things about what a preacher should be. But did you know that there's something higher than what you think, or even I think, that a pastor should be? And that is what God says that a pastor should be. Now, what does God say about the preacher? I realize today I'm going to be talking about my and the assistant pastor. I'm going to be talking about us. And if you're here today and you've been called to preach, this falls upon you. It does. But I do want you to do that. I think it's important. I think it's important that we have some expectations of our leaders. But I also think it's as important, not only that we have expectations, but that we realize that our expectations should be biblical. They should be centered in the Word of God. Now, what does God say? What is God's expectations for me as a pastor, for these good assistant pastors that God has given us, for pastors around the world that stand in the name of Christ to pastor the flock? What does it mean? Well, here's a man that gives us a little insight. Now, before I get started, I want to say this. Every Christian should have a church home. Every Christian. You should be able to say, that is my church. Now, listen, I realize, and I say it often, well, it's not our church, it's God's church. But there ought to be a church family, a church home, that every Christian identifies with. Say amen with me. Amen. Every Christian ought to identify. Every Christian ought to get saved. Listen, when you get saved, you ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and unite with a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Every Christian ought to do that. Every Christian ought to be able to point to a man and say, there's my pastor. Say amen now. There's my, not there's a preacher, not there's a pastor, but there's my pastor. There's my pastor right there. Every Christian ought to have a pastor. Every Christian ought to have a church home. Every Christian ought to say, there's my church family. Those folks that meet down there at the Fellowship Baptist Church, hey, there's my church family. Amen. Amen. Listen, this is biblical stuff. This is Bible stuff. This is the thing that's killing us, where people won't identify with a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Every Christian ought to identify with a local church. Have a pastor, a spiritual leader in their home. God has ordained it. God has ordained it that every Christian have a spiritual leader in their life. Now, you'll have to forgive this raspy voice. And I'm going to try not to irritate you with that. Sometimes I get irritated with raspy voices, and God said, here, take this. And this will help you not to get irritated when other people have raspy voices. You say, well, preacher, that's plaguing us, not you. It's plaguing me more than it is you. So here's Peter. And Peter said, Dale Freeman, David Oliver, B.J. Short, Brandon Freeman, here's some qualities. Now, notice I didn't say qualifications. You'll find those in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But here's some qualities that you ought to have as pastors. And some other young men in our congregation, some other men that God has His call on your life, listen, you're going to fall under this one day. Now, you hear me now. You're going to fall under this. God's going to have these expectations for you. Now, what's your expectations for a man of God, for a pastor? You say, well, I have a lot of them. Well, I'm just going to give you a few that the Bible gives, and those that you have made up of your own, you'll have to deal with them on yourself. But this is what God said. Okay, notice what He said. 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to go back just for a second to 1 Peter chapter 4, and let's notice something here in verse number 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Now, God wants the church to be set up and operated on a scriptural principle, on a foundational principle. And here Peter said that there ought to be some things set in order. There ought to be some things set in order in the house of God. And if some things are going to be set in order in any way, in any place, listen, it could be in government, it could be in the church, it could be in the home. These are three of God's ordained institutions. If they're going to be set up on the right foundation, going to have the right leadership. And so Peter, as the Spirit of God moved on him and said, now listen, judgment is going to begin. God's going to have some expectations. God's going to ask some things out of. God's going to hold some people accountable, and it's going to start with the house of God. He said, if you're going to be able to answer in that day and fulfill those things, then you're going to have the right leadership. Now listen to me. And so Peter said this. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 5, the elders. You say, well, I think he's talking about everybody 65 and older. Well, he may be. He may be. But it's something more than just a person. This is an office that he speaks of. He's speaking of the office of an elder. This word comes from the word presbytery, from which we get our English word Presbyterian. And this word presbytery means something. It means maturity. It means to be able to give mature counsel. It means someone, when they speak, you listen. That's what that word means. And he said, the elders, look at it now. He said in verse number 1, which are among you, he said, I exhort. Who am also an elder? He said, I'm one too. Now, not what Peter did here. It was, oh yeah, I remember Peter, preacher. That's right. I think I heard a Catholic say that he was the first pope of the Catholic Church. Well, that's not what Peter said. He said, I'm equal with you. He said, I'm speaking to the elders, but I want you to know, I'm not over you. I'm just one of you. Amen. Amen. And so that's why you don't see this preacher walking around talking about who he's over. Listen, God's not interested in that. God said the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. God said, I tell you what I'm interested in. What are you going to do for others? What are you willing to do to please me and to help others? And Peter said, that's my calling. Now watch what he said here. He said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory which shall be revealed. Now, I'm going to give you three words or phrases that Peter coins here that the Spirit of God told him to use that's going to help identify my job description and these men that have been called of God to be in the ministry, in particular in the pastorate. So we have job descriptions. You have a job description. Whatever job you do, when you go and you interview for that job, they'll say, this is what we expect of you. Now, let me tell you something. If you go and you interview for a job and they won't tell you what they expect of you, I don't know that I would accept it. You're probably in for a long situation there. Hey, amen. You ever tried to follow someone that doesn't know which way they're going? And if they can't tell you what they expect of you, they do not know which way they're going. Say amen with me now. And so it's really important that you understand what your job description is. But it's more so important that I, as a man of God, that these men of God understand what their job description is. It's important. And it comes right out of this book right here. I want you to notice what Peter says before he gets into. He says, you know, if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a pastor, and if you're going to have one, if you're going to put yourself under the authority and leadership of a pastor, and you should, this is what you should look for. But he said, before I get into this, I want to tell you something about a preacher. Notice what he did. He's getting ready to talk about his eldership. He's getting ready to talk about his bishopric. He's getting ready to talk about being an overseer. He's getting ready to talk about being a shepherd and feed the flock. But before he does, he begins to mention some experiences in life. Look what he did here. He said, I also am an elder, in verse number 1. He said, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Don't you know that when the Spirit of God was moving on Peter, he reminded Peter of Gethsemane, the sufferings. Oh, Peter, listen. Oh, Peter was heavy-eyed in that garden, heavy-eyed. Don't you know that he heard praying like this world has never heard in that garden, brethren? Don't you know that when he seen him agonizing, sweating as it were, great drops of blood, the sufferings of Christ, Peter went back to Gethsemane. Don't you know that after he had denied and cursed him, that through a veil, he looked at Calvary and saw the sufferings of Jesus there on Golgotha's hill? Don't you know that he heard as they whipped and they beat and they mocked and they scorned the Lord Jesus? He thought about this as he was writing. He said, listen, he said in verse number 1, he said, I was a witness, look at it now, of the sufferings of Christ. And then it moved him to another experience in life in verse number 1, also partakers of the glory. His mind went to the Mount of Transfiguration, no doubt in my mind. His mind went to that time when he went down to the empty tomb and saw that Jesus was not there, for he was risen just like he said. Amen. He went to that day when he was standing there and they looked up gazing in the air as Jesus ascended back into heaven. Hey, Peter was thinking about the experiences in life that he had in his walk with Jesus Christ. Now, what's Peter saying here? He's saying, Jesus is real to me. Can I tell you something? If God ever calls me out of here, if God ever calls me away, if God takes me home to heaven and felt it before he comes back, don't you let a man get behind this pulpit that Jesus is not real to him. Amen. Listen, I believe the first qualification of every preacher ought to be Jesus is real to you. Because if he's not real to you, he's not going to be real to the people you're preaching to. And if he's not real to the people you're preaching to, you're preaching to a dead people that'll do nothing for the kingdom of God.
a passion. That'll be a vibrancy. That'll be a burden. That'll be a vision in every man of God. And I believe there is for those who have been called of God. Amen. Peter said he's real to me. Someone might echo from the congregation this morning, Pastor Freeman, after all these 30-something years since you've been saved, is Jesus still real to you? You better believe he's real to me. Now, I'm going to admit to you that there's times that it's not as fresh as at other times, and there's times that I let God down, and there's times that I get my eyes off of God and get my eyes on myself or the world. But I thank God that, listen, somewhere in the midst of those times, there's something just a brewing down deep in my soul, and I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget the time that Jesus came in my soul and made me a new creature. I haven't got over it, brethren. He's just as real to me today as he was when he saved me back in 1980. Jesus is real to me. I wouldn't sit and listen to a preacher that Jesus wasn't real to them for 5 seconds. 5 seconds. I wouldn't give him 5 seconds. I mean, Jesus has got to be real. Is he real to you? You say, was he real to you, preacher? He's talking to you. Well, I want to tell you, he is real to me. Jesus is real to me. And Peter said, I want you to know, elders. He said, I'm writing to the elders out there. He said, I want you to know Jesus is real to me. Amen. Preachers that sit under the sound of my voice and God's called some choice men out of this congregation to preach, keep him real now. Keep him real. How am I going to do that, preacher? Spend time with him every day. Don't be afraid to visit the hard places. Let him take you back to the dry times and the hard places. Let him teach you something. Let him give you something fresh. And then God will give it to you so you can share it with those in whom he's placed under your ministry. Amen? Now, 3 things. Write them down here. Number one, he said to the elders. What's that word mean? The word elder, it means presbytery, spiritual experience, spiritual maturity. It's consultation. You ought to be able to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I got this situation. Every Christian needs spiritual counsel. There's going to come a time in every Christian's life you're going to need some spiritual counsel. Now, I'm not saying that every time you need spiritual counsel, you ought to come to your pastor. I am not saying that. But I'm saying if you needed to, and God knows that every Christian ought to get spiritual counsel. Say amen now. But if you needed to, you ought to be able to come to your pastor with confidence. My pastor is going to give me biblical, God-fearing counsel from the Word of God. My pastor's not going to hold back. My pastor's going to tell me in Christian love. My pastor cares about me enough to tell me what the Bible says and what God expects in this situation of my life. And that's what Peter's saying here. He said, as an elder, as one of the presbytery, as one that has spiritual experience, not a novice now, as one that has spiritual maturity, I ought to be able to get biblical consultation from my pastor. That's the first part of the job description that Peter gives here, an elder, an elder. Then notice what he said in verse number 2. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. And notice this phrase right here, taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight. Well, that word is overseer. That word is episcopus, from which we get our word bishop. Now listen to me. Bishop. It's someone who leads us. Someone who has some direction. Someone who guides. Someone who offers leadership. Could you imagine what it would be like? And I mentioned this, and I did it in jest, but I have experienced what it's like to go into work on a Monday morning in a public setting, in a secular job, and go into work and get there ready to work, and people looking at each other, what we're going to do today? Hey, can I tell you that decision should have been made before that morning? Where are we going to go today? What do you mean, where are we going to go? We're going to go to work. Amen. But we're relying on you to tell us where. We came here today, you hired us. Now, if you hired me to make that decision, I don't have a problem making that decision. Say amen with me. So this word, could you imagine as your pastor, if I was always saying, I don't know what we're going to do. This is what this is saying. This is part of my job description. Three times in Hebrews chapter 13, you'll read in verse number 7, you'll read in verse number 17, and you'll read in verse number 24. Write it down now. Hebrews 7, verse 7, 17, 24. Three times in Hebrews chapter 13, you'll read where that the pastor, the man of God, is to have rule over you, which means he is to lead you. To lead you. He is your guide. Could you imagine coming to church and never knowing what we're going to do, which way we're going to take, how we're going to do it? There ought to be some administrative skills. Now, a good pastor realizes that, you know what, if I'm not honed in these areas, I'm going to do like God instructed Moses and surround myself with some elders, with some good men that's going to help strengthen this area of my life. Amen. You know why? Because one man can't do it all. You understand that. You understand one man can't do it all. If you don't, it's time to start. And so a wise pastor will do this right here. Look at it now. As having, verse number 2, the oversight. But he said as taking the leadership. It's to guide. It's to lead. It's a sense of direction. The apostle put it this way in the book of Hebrews. Watch for your souls. Now, you say, well, I believe a preacher ought to win souls. I do too. But I believe you ought to watch for them too. Amen. Did you know watching for souls requires a lot more time than winning souls? Come on now. Did you have that down in your job description? I believe a preacher ought to go out and win people to Jesus. I believe every Christian ought to do that. But a good pastor will watch for your souls. Well, I don't want no preacher keeping up with me. What's wrong? What's wrong? What you got going on that shouldn't be being kept up with? Did you know that I'm going to have to give an account for your life one day? And so I kind of want to know what's going on. Amen. You say, I don't like people keeping up with me. Does your foreman down at the job keep up with you? If he doesn't, you might ought to get another job. Because for long, he won't even realize you're there, and he'll just quit writing you a check. Amen. Right. Appreciate your pastor. And you do. But one day God may move you away from here and you may go visit another church. And you may join that church. It may be in another state. It may be in another country. I don't know. Appreciate that man of God. Pray for that man of God. Show your pastors that you appreciate them. How? Well, if they're an elder, seek consultation. That's part of a pastor's job. Pastor, I've got this situation, and oftentimes I have people come to me and they say, I don't want to bother you. Now listen to me very carefully right here. Everybody look right up here. Listen, if you're about to sleep, look to the person next to you. If they're about to sleep, how about doing that to them? No, harder. Okay, yeah. Listen. And I know people mean it, they mean well by it, but here's what they say. Pastor, I don't want to bother you because I know you're busy. Hey, can I tell you? This is what God's called me to do. God's called me to do what you think bothers me. Therefore, it doesn't bother me. There are some things about it that do bother me when you won't do what you've been called to do and are asking me to help you do something that you've been called to do. I can't do anything that you're not willing to allow God to do in your life. Now, that gets a little bothersome. However, with that aside, don't ever think, well, the preacher, he's just too busy for me. Well, if I'm too busy for you, something's wrong. Well, he's got too much going on. I never have too much going on to care about what's going on in your life. Never. If there's any ever person that's ever come to me and I've told you, hey, listen, I don't care what's going on, go your way, then something's not right. You've never had this pastor do that. You've never had this pastor say, I could care less what happens in your life. I do care what happens in your life. And every good pastor would. Amen. consultation. Number two, administration. We don't want to keep going around in circles for 39, 40 years. Say amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. We don't just go around stumbling over the same old campfires. Amen. Got to have some administration. Got to take some oversight. Look at it there in verse number two. Got to take some oversight. That's overseer. Somebody's got to lead. Amen. As the old saying goes, they pay me to make the hard decisions. Not every decision is simple and easy. Sometimes we miss it. But I want to do what's right. And I believe I serve with the people who want to do what's right. And we need to get God's mind on the matter. So he said right here, number one, I'm speaking to elders. If you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, you need to have some consultation. You need to have some experience. You need to have some wisdom. You need to be able to counsel people biblically. Number two, there ought to be some administration. There ought to be some leadership. There ought to be a direction in ministry. There ought to be a purpose in ministry. What in the world are we doing here? You know, what do you mean, what are we doing here? We're in the soul-winning business, amen? Where at, preacher in Madison? No, look around you, around the world. We're always saying that from this platform. We're interested in souls around the world. We want to get them saved, get them baptized, get them discipled, and get them in service for our King, amen? That's what taking the oversight is. Now, number three, you with me? Talking to you about the role of your pastor. Is any of it like what you would have written down? You say, well, I was kind of thinking he might ought to be the one down there breaking the champagne bottle and christening the new boat. Well, no, that's not what this pastor's going to do. Well, I thought he might ought to cut that ribbon as he opened up that new business. No, that's not what God's called me to do. I think he ought to fire the gun at the bunny race at Easter. Oh, no, that's not what I'm going to be doing. Amen. Now, God didn't call me to do that. You say, oh, but everybody loves that kind of pastor. Well, let me tell you something. If you're in love with this book, you'll love the kind of pastor that's being described right here. Amen. Say amen with me. Amen. Look at what it says now. Verse number two. Feed the flock of God. So, we've looked at two. Number one, we've looked at an elder. Number two, we've looked at an overseer. Now, here is a shepherd. Feed. Now, here's another experience from Peter. Don't miss this now. Remember when Peter had denied Christ and went out and he wept bitterly. And then Jesus said, go get my disciples and tell them, and Peter. And he met Peter down there on the shore of Galilee. Remember? And he said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You said, was he talking about the fishes? Well, he might have been, but I kind of think he's talking about those disciples. Because he was reminding Peter what he said a few days earlier. Remember? Although they would forsake you, Lord, I would never forsake you. He's reminding Peter, do you love me more than these? You said you did, but do you? Lord, thou knowest. He said, feed my lambs. Very interesting. You know how the conversation goes. Then he said, feed my sheep. Now, the first time he said, feed my lambs, you know what he was saying? He said, find some pasture land for them. But the second time, he said, you take care of them. You take care of them, Peter. You be a shepherd. Now here's what Peter's saying. Look at it. Verse number two. Feed the flock of God. Now don't you miss this, brethren. We are living in a day when people go to church without this book. Church shouldn't be held without this book. Matter of fact, if you have this book, would you put it in your hand and raise it up high? Please, I want all the children, men, women, children, hold it up real high if you have this book. Look here. Did you know, now look around you now, keep it up high. Did you know you could go in a lot of churches, and I'm not slinging mud. We're accountable and responsible for what goes on here. But there's a lot of churches today, this morning, while we're here, if they're still around, if they're still got church going on, listen to me. This won't be needed this morning where they're at. But can I tell you, you can bring it this morning, it's going to be needed. Tonight, when we meet again, this book is going to be needed. Wednesday night, when we meet for prayer meeting, you won't be able to navigate through the prayer meeting without this book right here. Why? This book is what we use to feed the flock of God. You can put your Bibles down. Well, I tell you, the devil's mad now. You say, well, I'm mad. Well, you might be a devil. Listen to me. Feed the flock of God. Found out something a long time ago, brethren. When I was a young preacher, God sent me at the feet of these aged men, and every one of them would line us little young preacher boys up, and they'd tell us, preach the word, boy, preach the word. But what about the this and the that? No, you preach the word, boy. Preach the word, son. Don't you get up and not preach the Bible. I got a story I'm gonna tell. Hey, you preach the word, son. I think I've got a few jokes. No, no, no. Preach the word, son. Preach that Bible. Why? Because sheep love good Bible food. Now the goats are going to go somewhere else or want something else. We want entertainment. What about some wiggle jiggle music? No. Preach the word, boy. Preach that Bible. You'll never, ever, ever build a Bible believing church with no Bible preaching.
Amen.
We live in a society where they, listen, they don't know what's in this book. What is going on? I'm talking about people that go to church regularly. They have no clue what this Bible teaches. Well, look what he said now. Feed the flock of God. I learned early in my ministry from some good wise men. Young man, if you'll feed those people the Bible, they'll keep coming back. Now, some people come to Fellowship Baptist Church and they come on Sunday night and they come on Wednesday night and they say, man, y'all have a good return number. You ever heard somebody say that? Y'all have a good return number. How many of you visited our church and when you came back on Sunday night, you can be honest now, was a little surprised, man, this is a pretty good number to come back on Sunday night. Raise your hand high. A lot of folks that's just recently visited our church. And some, you know why they come back? You say, preacher, it's got to be because you're charismatic. You're just bubbling over, man. It's you, preacher. They want to see if you're going to wear a different tie back Sunday night. No. There's a group of people here who know. We go back tonight, we're going to get some more Bible preaching. We go back Wednesday night. Well, I heard Pastor Freeman wasn't going to be preaching Wednesday night. That doesn't matter. Whoever stands behind that pulpit is going to preach the word. Amen. Maybe Pastor David. Maybe Pastor Brandon, maybe Pastor BJ, maybe all three of them and then some. Amen. We've done that a few times. But they all going to preach the word. And the sheep just keep coming back. Why? They just love grazing and feeding on that good stuff. That manna from heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
So here's three pictures now. Did you get it? Did you get it? Elder. Consultation. Spiritual experience, spiritual advice, spiritual counsel. Be an elder. Number two, overseer, administrator. Give some guidance, give some leadership. By the way, let me say something there. I had a lady ask me this morning, and I was glad she asked me. And I'm not going to say who it was, but she knows who she is. She said, preacher, do we have counseling here? You better believe we have counseling here. I'll help you any way I can. This in no way is a reflection about what that lady asked me about. And I wanted to make that sure so that she would know. But can I tell you, the best counseling that this preacher gives is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and Sunday evening at 6 o'clock and Wednesday evening around, oh, we'll say 7, though I don't get up here about 7:50, something like that, 7:55 to preach because we have prayer time. See, the best counseling I give is behind this sacred desk. If you'll take the counseling that's given to you behind this, you won't need much outside of this. Now listen to me. Now does that mean that somebody might not need it? Somebody might need it outside of this? Yes, and this person does. Lady, you know who I'm talking to, ma'am. I believe that person does. And I told you, and I meant what I told you. I'll help that person any way I can. I'm available. And some of you, I've counseled outside of this right here. I come to you and we counsel outside of this right here. And we cancel. Sometimes I come to your home. Sometimes I meet you at the church. Sometimes we meet out at a restaurant, have a cup of coffee, and we talk, and I try to give you some biblical counsel for your situation. That's a good thing. But most of the time, if you'll come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and get your consultation, it takes a little time now, but you'll get your consultation right out of this book, and if you'll apply it, it'll lessen the times that you'll need it outside of here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't need it outside of here from time to time. Listen up now, young people. From time to time, the preacher's going to tell you, you make sure you marry a saved person. I'm going to marry a lost person. You're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. The preacher will tell you, stay pure until you get married. Oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. You're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. See, if you don't follow the consultation that the preacher's giving you, you're going to be in for a long, hard road. See, the preacher will counsel you from right here and say, hey, discipline your children. Oh, preacher, we don't believe in that discipline stuff. They're going to discipline you. That's what's going to happen. That's right. You're going to be in for a long, hard road. Oh, but we don't believe in that Bible discipline. You better start believing in it. Now, I'm telling you what the Bible says, brethren. Tithe. Live right. Dress right. Talk right. In so many ways, every time that someone stands up here, that's what we're telling you. We're just using other words and other means saying, do right, serve God, live clean. Amen. Amen. You follow that consultation. You follow that counsel. And you won't need a whole lot outside of it. Now, you may need some from time to time. Elder, overseer, shepherd, care for the flock. Feed them. Verse number 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Now, I've always taken that to be the church family, and I'm not going to get up here and, yeah. There was a time in my ministry that God rebuked me for preaching all around. I'd go out and preach meetings, and God said, listen, you need to take care of the flock of God that's among you. And so I cut it out. I said, I'm not going to do that. God's called me to pastor this people right here, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to pastor you by proxy. I'm not going to pastor you from another state while I'm traveling around the world. I'm not going to do that. You say, well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that's what God told me to do. That's what God's told me to do. Pastor you. Feed you. Be here for you. And by the grace of God, that's what I want to be. I want to be here for you. I'll close with this morning. Did you get that now? Elder. Consultation. So I don't need any consultation. Don't be proud now. Don't be arrogant. Don't think you have all the answers. Humble yourself and realize that God has put a spiritual leader in your life. And if you're a member of this church, I'm He. And you need some spiritual consultation. And we have 3 good assistant pastors that you can turn to for good spiritual counsel. We have men on the deacon board. We have men on the staff here that I could send you to that I know would give you good spiritual counsel from the Bible. You ought to praise God for that. So I don't want to get no spiritual counsel. You need it. Everybody needs spiritual counsel. Elder. Number 2, administrator. Lead. Guide. Direction. And then number 3, shepherd. Feed. Have a relation. That's our word. Consultation, administration, relation. Every shepherd ought to have a relation with the sheep. I'm glad we have a good relationship. I am. I'm thankful to God for that. You know, there's some pastors and churches that are at odds. I mean, they won't speak to one another. The pastor gets up and just skins everybody from the pulpit. The sheep are so weakly. I mean, they've been sheared and, listen, they've been shaved and sheared week after week and service after service, and they're puny and they're not fed because all they're getting is a bully pulpit and somebody just jumping on them and calling them out from the pulpit and just embarrassing them and making a public spectacle out of them, and then wonder, why won't people come back to church? I think I have an idea. Amen. You say, well, did that just come out of thin air? No, it came out of verse number 3. Look at what he said. Not as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. You lead people. You don't drive them. You drive cattle. You lead sheep. Amen. Amen. The shepherd's out front. The cattle rustler's at back. Ha, ha! Driving from the rear. That's a hireling. That's not a shepherd. That's not a shepherd. A shepherd's out front leading, guarding, feeding, protecting. We'll come back to this. Today we just looked at the role of the pastor. There's also some responsibility. Did you notice them there? Go home and read that passage and you'll find that there's three positives and three negatives. And then there's a reward. We have the role, we have the responsibility, then the reward. One day the chief shepherd's going to appear. You know what my job essentially is as your pastor? To get you ready for when Jesus comes. Now, I didn't say prepared. That happened when you got saved. Amen. When you study the Bible, you'll find that the chief shepherd got you prepared to meet him. But it's my place as the under shepherd to get you ready to meet him when he comes again. Brethren, Jesus is coming back. And every person is going to stand before him. Every one of us. And it's my place as a pastor to help nourish you and feed you and guide you through life so that when we stand before him individually, you can be able to give an account for your life, an account of your service with joy. And then I as a pastor can give an account because I'm going to give an account of this church here. See, I'm going to give an account of your life. And if you didn't realize that, I pray that God would help you to realize that this morning. I'm going to have to give an account for this flock. You're my flock, and I'm your under-shepherd. And on this Pastor's Appreciation Day, I want to tell you I appreciate you. I particularly appreciate this young man right here. Stand up there, young man. Yeah. Cowboys. No, you can stand up too. I appreciate you. The Cowboys. I appreciate this guy. He's a Cowboys fan. That's not the only reason I appreciate you. See, I watch these young men over here. I do. You can sit down there, son. I watch you, son. I watch you, and I watch you. I can't help but watch you. And I watch you. Then we got Cody and Isaiah. I watch Cody and Isaiah when they're in the service. Nicholas over there. You say, what are you watching them young men for, preacher? Because I see God, he's doing something in their life. Right. Do you know these young men sit there for while I preach for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. They didn't pass notes. They didn't whisper and talk. They sit there just like they're sitting there. They had their Bibles open when I was preaching, and they listen. You see these guys right here? They did that. They listen. That's good stuff. That's the good stuff right there, brethren. The good stuff. Preacher, why do you keep doing what you do? Right there. Right there. Right here. These young people in here, that's why. That's why. I pray to God that these assistant pastors, these men that's been called to preach, and every person in this church would realize if we quit doing what we were doing, these boys wouldn't be able to come here. Then what? Who are they going to turn to from here? What do you want to turn somebody on the street, turn in a quick fix? Is that what we want? We don't want that. I'd much rather be here this morning doing what they're doing than out shooting a basketball on a hard top somewhere. Say amen. Amen. Listening to a bunch of vile language and people, feet that are swift to shed blood, talking about ungodly stuff, what they can get into trouble. I'm glad you're here today, young man. Amen. Thank God for you. Young ladies too. Well, let's stand. I just thought I'd recognize my young men here. These young men, every single Sunday morning, here and here. That's good. I'm not going to forget you, Gabe. That young man is there every Sunday. Amen. An elder. I don't take the responsibility that God's given me lightly. And I think I speak for these assistant pastors. I think I speak for all the officers of this church. I really do. I don't take it lightly.